It is 1:32. We have just returned from executive session. The meeting is once again being recorded. Let's do a quick roll call to verify that everybody is here. Dr. King?
Yes, present.
Dr. Bustillo?
Here.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
And staff, Ms. Cardoza?
Present.
Ms. Crowley?
Here.
Richardson?
Present.
And I'm Judy Chepius, and Mr. Harris is also with us. So we are ready to go. Dr. King.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So let's then go back to your request, Dr. Kimpton, about modifying the monitoring and the practice audit. While I completely sympathize in how expensive it's going to be, I'm not comfortable modifying it yet because we haven't seen anything yet. Do you know what I mean? Like, I would be more comfortable if we had something to look at and see that you're moving in the right direction.
That makes sense.
Right? And then go, okay, let's talk about this. But we don't have anything yet. And so we don't know that anything's changed.
Okay.
So I don't know affiliated monitoring, if that's who you're going to be going through, but I would have that conversation with them that, what does the contract look like? And if the board modifies the requirement, will they modify their contract with you? Right. So
yes,
start out every 2 weeks. And then at some point things are going great and we change to a different time frame.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. I can agree with that. That makes a lot of sense.
It's not just my decision. I just want to put that out there and then we'll have the board discuss, your requests for modification.
So if I'm understanding this correctly, I can call them today and get this set up, but let's get a report or two under our belts and see how it's looking. And if it's looking pretty good, then I can suggest to meet again.
Yes, you can request. I think Mr. Harris or Judy, you can correct me if I'm wrong. You can request to come in front of the board to talk about your consent agreement. I think anytime you want to come and speak to us about what's going on or consider modification or things, we're here for you. You just request to be put on the agenda.
Okay.
But my comfort level would be to have your full practice audit completed and some monitoring before I would entertain myself agreeing to modifying your consent agreement.
I have a question. She made it seem like every audit is a full practice audit. Is that not accurate?
Let me pull up your consent agreement.
She would be auditing all elements that are contained within the consent agreement. So yes, it's clinical practice. It's supervisory, delegation, documentation, efficacy of treatment, clinical rationale supports the treatment.
And
all of those findings that were in the consent agreement, she would be monitoring each time.
Yes. And so that was her concern. She's like, this is a full practice audit every 2 weeks. She's like, this is very abnormal.
Let me open it up. My understanding, and we just may have to go back in and look at it, is that it's a full practice audit and then monitoring of your documentation and practices. So looking at your documentation for each, like she may look at 15 files.
Did I freeze?
Mm-hmm. But let me, I'm having a hard time finding my.
Wait, Kelly, Dr. King, you froze for like the last 10 seconds.
Sorry. Am I back?
Yeah, you're back.
Okay. Okay.
That's what she was discussing. She was like, this is a full practice audit every 2 weeks. She's like,
let me see what our consent agreement says.
Well, she's going to be looking for improvements over time. She's going to have a baseline the first time he or she goes in.
Yep.
And then each subsequent, the way we've seen in the past is each subsequent monitor looks at different records, but is looking for progress in those areas of deficiency that are identified. And then she's going to identify areas that you're in compliance.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So a full evaluation, sort of like a patient, a full evaluation, and then like re-evals, like looking for progress. These are the things we found deficient. This is what you need to do about it. Are you actually doing them? Are you making progress?
Okay. Okay. In the consent agreement, she's reading it as like every single time she does that. it's like a full practice audit again. Let's see here. Continue the probation.
While we're looking for that language, I'm curious to hear from the board what your thoughts are around this discussion in modifying his current consent agreement.
Mr. Barton. Oh, go ahead.
No, you're good. Go.
So I would say it does sound like it's going to be a really significant financial hardship. I agree with Dr. King. I think I want to see it at least start out first. I am a little curious. I think we may have, or I think they may be misreading the consent agreement a bit. But I would like to see that biweekly monitoring at least for 1 month. And I would be open to looking at it. You know, if he got it in place today, as he's saying, I'd be open to looking at it next month. And if we have two that look positive, I'm open to, discussing whether we move to a monthly reporting schedule or something else. But I agree with Dr. King that I would like to at least see it, for a period of time in place and functioning before we look at modifying it. That would be my inclination.
Just a couple of points of clarification. The information that you're looking for with respect to the monitoring, it's on page 37 of your packet. Starts with item number 23 under the professional monitoring.
Okay, thanks.
The other point, Mr. Barton, to your point, the typical process of the monitoring is that the respondent gets a signed contract with the monitoring company. And it's at that time that the monitoring company then seeks an appropriate monitor to do the actual work and go into the facility and meet with the respondent. So it's highly unlikely that this would turn around next month.
Well, and Dr. King, members of the board, Mr. Kempton, just to kind of follow up in taking a look at, you know, the language, this is pretty standard language. And basically what it requires is, as I think Mindy suggested, that, you know, initially the monitor comes in and does a full, audit of the practice to get a baseline, including, you know, reviewing all records. And then it's the monitor that comes up with a monitoring recommendation plan that, you know, and so once that baseline, once that complete audit is finished and they come up with a monitoring plan going forward with recommendations,
mm-hmm.
That's when you start seeing, you know, the progress and where are we starting, where we are and where we're supposed to end up.
Right.
And, I don't want to put, Judy, but, I suspect that over time, Judy's had many conversations with monitors. And if there does need to be a clarification, then, that's probably best with Judy to have with the monitor.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't say that every.
No.
Yeah, that we do a full blown audit of the practice every time the monitor, presents.
No, it doesn't. I'm reading the language and it does not state that.
Yeah.
And okay, then.
But if they need clarification, have them reach out to the board staff to Judy.
Yes, Aaron LaBelle has talked to Judy once, I believe.
Okay.
About it. Okay. So the way I'm understanding it is that I got to get it's a full practice audit, and then they come back with recommendations of what they would like to do.
And then that's what the monitor.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. But Mr. Kempton, remember, you're not like right now in compliance. You've got to get that.
I'll call him today. I'm going to call him right after this. I'll talk to Aaron LaBelle right now.
Well, one of the things.
Go ahead.
I was just going to suggest, Dr. King, even though you're not going to have any reports or anything, you know, but maybe you want to just, you know, place this matter back on your agenda for July just to find out, you know, where he is within his compliance, because yep, the clock is ticking.
Yep. So let's do this. Let's continue this. I mean, it's not a case before us. It was a request to review and revise his consent agreement. So I'm going to just ask that we continue this discussion, that this agenda item is placed on our July meeting agenda. Get back with you, Mr. Kempton, find out where you're at on these pieces, compliance wise, on all of it, and that things are moving in the right direction. And then we'll go from there.
Okay. Well, can I bring up that one course that I took, the PB24? The 6 weeks from here will be past that July meeting. Is that okay? Are we okay with that?
I think, Mr. Harris, correct me if I'm wrong, he'll need to request an extension for that time frame. I don't know processes for that.
It's going to be a 7 week course.
And that happens. So we have people come before the board and say, you know, I'm not able to get it done in the time frame. So I need to request that the board approve an extension of the deadline for this particular piece of it. So Mr. Harris, what's the process, or Judy, what's the process for Mr. Kempton? Well,
and Judy, if I may, I think if you need additional time, Mr. Kempton, what I would suggest is you submit that in writing. It can be in an email to Ms. Chappius, and provide all of the information supporting your timelines that you're sharing with us and why you won't be able to meet the deadline set forth in the consent agreement, but you are on, you know, the path to meeting it, and it will be successfully completed on such and such a date. If you can provide all of that information to board staff, then board staff can turn around and present it to the board when they reconsider this matter in July.
Okay.
And, you know, I hope it's okay, Dr. King, members of the board, but, you know, Mr. Kempton, it's your responsibility to make sure that you're in compliance with the consent agreement. I know it appears a little bit overwhelming, and it sounds like you're trying very hard to do so. But the consequences for you violating it is the revocation of your license, and you've agreed to that. So it's really, really important that we start following the express terms of the consent agreement if you want to remain licensed.
I appreciate that information, Mr. Harris. I will take that in advisement, and I will.
I we all want you to succeed.
Mm-hmm. Which is why we're still here. You just have to own all of this. You own it.
Yes, I do own it. Okay. That's true.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Harris. So I don't need to make a motion or anything, right? We just ask, or do I need to make a motion to?
Can we just make a motion to continue the matter regarding Mr. Kempton's compliance with the consent agreement to July?
I move that we continue. Mr. Kempton's request to our July and compliance and his consent agreement to our July meeting.
Thank you.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? All righty. Let's call the vote.
It's been moved and seconded that we continue the discussion of Mr. Kempton's compliance with the July board meeting. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Basile?
Yes.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
That motion passes.
Okay.
Okay. Am I allowed to say one more thing?
Mm-hmm.
I just, from my bottom of my heart, I just want to sincerely apologize for the actions that I've done that has caused all of this and caused all the, you know, it tarnishes the PT name, it makes you guys do all this work. And it is, you know, it is my actions that I've learned a lot from from all these courses and stuff that I'm taking that have caused this. And I am working super hard to remediate and fix everything so this wouldn't happen again. So I appreciate your guys' time. I appreciate your understanding. And I am working very, very hard to be able to fix this. So thank you very much. I appreciate it. And I'm sorry for all the trouble I've caused the board.
We will see you in July.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good day. Okay. I know Karen's got a hard stop at 2:30, 2:20, 2:30. So let's keep going. We have three more, I think, left on the agenda. One, two, three. Yep. Okay, so let's go into BP for review, consideration, possible action, potentially opening a complaint. So BP, are you on the call with us?
I'm not sure I got an acknowledgement that he would be present, but since we're identifying him by initials and this is a preliminary review, he may not realize that it's his case being called. Okay. So if you don't mind me going ahead and doing the briefing, then we could see if he's present.
Okay.
So in this case, this is a preliminary review. The board received a notice of medical malpractice payment report from the MPDB involving this gentleman. And I did attach that report for your review. The settlement for medical malpractice payment was processed on April 17th of 2023. It alleged that a patient was injured and that occurred on January 6th of 2020. And they concluded in that report that it was from improper treatment of the hip by BP. I did talk to him in early June, and he was aware of the patient complaint, but he was not aware that there was a final settlement. When he renewed his Arizona license for the 2022-24 period, he did answer yes to the question 1.5, which is, have you had a malpractice judgment against you, or do you have a lawsuit currently pending for malpractice? He hadn't received a copy of the settlement document, so I provided that to him, and he was advised that this would be placed in the June 27th board meeting as a preliminary review. So just as some background in this case and in the next one that we're going to hear, there wasn't a patient complaint filed, but this is not unlike when we get notice from another state that they've taken disciplinary action. It comes to us automatically through MPDB. And in the past, I believe, Judy, the board discussed this in September about whether or not the board wished to have these items brought before them. And the discussion was, well, if it's serious enough, then we should probably take a look at it. That is a little bit hard for me to define. So on the erring on the side of better to have you see it than not see it, I discussed with Judy and Mark that we would bring this case and the next one forward for you as a preliminary review. So your options in this case would be to either take no action or to vote to open a case and then cite the potential violation of 32-2044-4, which would be engaging in the performance of substandard care by physical therapists. And I realize there's very little to go on in the settlement agreement, but that's all we receive.
I don't recall having one of these in front of the board before. Maybe in my time, not ringing a bell. So I'd be interested to see what the board's thoughts are on something like this.
I would be curious, having done a fairly large number of these settlements in my professional practice, I would suspect that if this is part of a settlement agreement that he is a party to, a very typical language in that is all parties kind of agree that there's not going to be an allegation of fault. And it sounds like there's nothing to counterindicate that in what we've heard. Is that correct?
I didn't catch all that Mr. Burton was saying, that all parties agree to what?
So typically everybody agrees that the settlement agreement is an admission of fault or wrongdoing.
Oh, no fault.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, it's clearly not a judgment against him. And so I don't know. I'm not, I guess my thought is if the allegations that he improperly manipulated his hip and caused an injury, I can see how that might be investigable, but I doubt that we've got like an admission or a finding of fault. I don't know if we need that, but that's kind of what I'm thinking of. Those are my thoughts, Dr. King. So.
Okay. So what I think I'm hearing you say is that this malpractice settlement was a settlement determining no fault, but injury. So this person was paid out. So we don't have a complaint to the board. We've been notified by the NPDB, which is the point of the NPDB, to make sure you know if constituents in your state had malpractice complaints or complaints in other states against them.
I guess that's my kind of question and thought process with the board is, you know, obviously we want to get notified of it for a reason, and kind of that's just my typical experience. I don't know if this is a settlement agreement, and without BG here, I don't know that we can know. But that, you know, that's kind of been my experience, and so it does make me wonder, you know, if he has already paid out settlement, or his insurance, or however it works. I don't know. It does make me question whether it's worth investigating this again, if it's already been investigated by the malpractice. I don't know what the board's thoughts on that. I mean, obviously we want to know, and it would be hard for us to know if this is his first or his eighth, right? But.
What are your thoughts, Dr. Hayek?
I'm a little confused because in this case it says that there's improper technique, and I think what I'm hearing is then if that's the case and it was improper technique, and maybe that was just the allegation, wouldn't that fit into that they weren't practicing physical therapy correctly, whether that was the assessment or a technique that was done? It seems like that would be under our purview.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair. I think the allegation is probably within our purview. I guess my question is a little more like on the equitable side of it. Are we going to punish him twice, basically? And frankly, I don't know. As I say it out loud, I almost wonder if that's just outside of our purview and we just need to investigate and make a decision as to whether or not there's a violation here. But that was the initial thought that I had.
I mean, I think you bring up a good point. I think I've heard in some of our board meetings, it's not unusual for someone to file a complaint both with the board and with the malpractice, and that the malpractice attorneys are listening in to see what the board does in order to go with what's next. So you talk about double punishment. I mean, I think we see that. I think we see board determination of appropriate treatment, and then there's another piece to it where the patient may be in either litigation or with a malpractice representative.
Yeah, and Dr. King, members of the board, what's unusual here is that we don't have a patient complaint.
Mm-hmm.
And so we received this information because there was a settlement in a civil matter. And they're required to report it. And I think, and I don't want to misspeak for Mindy, but you know, you've provided Mindy with some direction in the past. And this just kind of fell into that amount that, you know, it wasn't a few dollars, but it wasn't a hundred thousands of dollars. Mm-hmm. It was just enough to say, I don't know what to do with it. So we're bringing it to you. Keep in mind what happened in the civil matter is completely independent than whatever would happen in the administrative matter. You know, we have, you know, different evidentiary rules. We have different, standards of proof. But the only question before you is, you know, given the settlement and what we know of it, and I think that's all we're ever going to know of it. Is this something that you think rises to taking a look at? And if so, then we open up a complaint and investigate. If not, then we take no action.
Thanks.
I hope that made some sense. Mm-hmm.
So if it was improper technique, then, and perhaps that's either assessment or intervention, in our jobs to protect the public, this might happen again. And so do we act on it now, or would we wait until another incident happened? So that's where I'm like, I'm not sure on this.
Yeah.
I guess my biggest concern with this is the lack of a patient complaint.
Mm-hmm.
More than anything. And I think the amount that was given out, my feeling is that we're going to probably start to see higher amounts just due to, lack of a better word, inflation.
Mm-hmm.
and patient, you know, patient request and things like that. I feel like in this particular case, because the PT was really not aware of what the settlement was and things like that,
mm-hmm.
the investigation was probably just settled by the malpractice company with the allegation as opposed to a real investigation into what happened. That happens frequently, unfortunately, in some malpractice cases where the insurance company doesn't want to take the time and they're just going to settle it because it's like a nuisance thing rather than putting the time and the money forth for a formal investigation, which costs a lot of money.
Well, there's no guarantee that the adjuster or whoever was evaluating was even a therapist to determine.
Yeah, they tell you, I mean, it's kind of, I don't know, maybe Josh can talk about this a little bit more, but I mean, I've heard that, you know, that they look at, the malpractice company will look at a claim and decide how much it's going to cost to settle it or adjudicate it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're going to make their decision based on that more than the merits of the case.
Yeah, I mean, it does depend a lot on the physical therapist and the allegations. There are definitely times when that is true, when it is just a question of whether it's going to be kind of worth the pain to go out and litigate it. So I guess as I'm kind of listening in on this discussion and thinking about my own profession, I mean, I think it may be, you know, given the amount and given the, I mean, it may be worth doing at least an initial investigation and finding out if there was wrongdoing. I am a little concerned that we're investigating this without a real complaint. But, you're right. I mean, we're supposed to be alerted to these things, and presumably we're supposed to be alerted so that we can act on it. So that's kind of the thought process I've been having. But it is, I mean, you know, it's hard to tell from the little limited information that we have to speak to, Dr. Castillo. I just am not sure that we have enough information to know one way or the other whether this is a, you know, pay a settlement because it's a disputed claim and we don't want to investigate it, or whether it's that they spent some time and litigated it and made a finding and settled this to avoid a trial because they were afraid that a judgment would occur. I don't know that I see enough information to make a call one way or the other on that.
Well, and as a follow to what Mr. Barton just said, perhaps then, you know, if you open up a complaint, they will be given an opportunity to respond, maybe provide some additional information with respect to that. And then at that point, you can determine whether or not you want to dismiss the case or direct, you know, Mindy to conduct more investigation into it.
Yeah. I wish he was here so that we could ask him.
Yeah.
Right. So my other question and thought is, can we continue it and give him another opportunity to come to the board and talk to us before we open a complaint and have that all happen? You know, I just would like to talk with him.
Yeah. Yeah. That's certainly something that you can do, is continue this and have staff, you know, reach out to him.
Mindy, what are your thoughts on that? being the one that would probably be the one to reach out.
Hold on a sec. Where am I? I had to see if I was on mute. I was looking for the email that I would have sent him to notify him that, you know, it was on today's date, and I don't want to take time out of the meeting today to see if he responded to that. I did tell him that, you know, he'd be identified by initials and this is a preliminary review. That's kind of what I tell everybody, that on these preliminary reviews. The potential patient injury is well past. So I don't think by waiting a month to see if we can get him to help you better understand. He was aware of the patient. He was aware that the patient had filed a claim, but he wasn't aware that it was actually settled. So he's aware of the patient. Now, how much he remembers about the incident, I don't know. I might have to subpoena records for him to be able to refresh his memory and to be able to, you know, feel like he can respond to what happened.
I mean, I'd like to...
Honestly, probably we may end up in the same place. Yeah. If you just open a complaint and let me just do what I normally do with the investigation, he has an opportunity to see the record, respond to it, and then the board can, you know, have all of the information in front of them that they need to make a decision.
Okay. So if that's the case, then I'll just make a motion and we can continue there, but I'll make a motion to open a complaint, citing, ARS 32-20-44-4. And then we'll go from there. Do you have a second?
Second.
Okay, Judy.
Who did the second?
Dr. Hike.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
It's been moved and seconded to open a complaint in case BP, citing ARS 32-20-44-4. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
No.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
That motion passes.
Okay. So now we are at SC, which is a very similar situation, although this SC, are you on the call? SC did not renew AZ license in 2022. So not licensed as a PT, so not licensed in Arizona right now.
Right. So this is similar. We received notice of a medical malpractice payment report from the National Practitioner Databank involving SC. You had that settlement provided to you. It occurred while he was practicing in Arizona. The incident occurred January 19th of 2022. With an alleged injury to the patient's shoulder resulting from improper techniques, as stated in the settlement by SC. I talked to him also early June. He was aware of the patient complaint but wasn't aware of the settlement. He did move out of state and last practiced in Arizona in March of 2022. As Dr. King mentioned, he didn't renew for the 2022-24 period, and his license has been placed on administrative suspension and active status. SC was provided a copy of the settlement document, and he was advised that the matter would be placed in the June 27th board meeting as a preliminary review. As well, the board can either take no action or vote to open a case citing a potential violation of ARS 32-20-44-4, engaging in the performance of substandard care by a physical therapist.
So this is Mr. Barton. My inclination is that if he's not practicing anymore, I'm not sure we have jurisdiction. And so my inclination would be to take no action on this one just because he's not practicing, so he's not under our jurisdiction.
And that is correct. He hasn't been notified of a complaint prior to the expiration of his license. So by statute, we don't have jurisdiction to look into this. This is something should if he ever reapply. You know, I don't know how we keep our files, but there could be a note you know, that he was subject to, but he would have to disclose that on any future application.
Okay. So I have a motion to take no action. I second that. Any discussion? Okay.
It's been moved and seconded to take no action. Case SC. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastille?
Yes.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
That motion passes.
Brady. The last item in this section of the agenda is
There's two more.
Oh, sorry.
JO. These are two preliminary reviews.
Oh, JO.
KS.
Yep, sorry. I moved to KS too fast. JO.
I do think Giovanni can join us.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, good.
Somebody raised their hand.
You are rejoining at 208.
I think KS had her hand raised, maybe.
Okay. I apologize. I accidentally clicked the button.
Oh, okay. Okay. We're not quite to you yet. I skipped one. Sorry. So we are actually at JO, PTA. Mindy, do you want to give us a summary? And is JO, are you on the call? Okay.
So this complaint was filed by a physical therapist assistant that was working at a company. And he filed a complaint alleging that Mr. Olson engaged in unprofessional conduct because he wrongfully terminated the complainant for not seeing his patients in a timely manner on April 14th of 2023. He also alleged that he was harassed by JO for not seeing scheduled patients, and JO was going to force him to see patients under general supervision without a supervising PT. JO states in his response, the reason that the PTA was terminated was that the PTA had reduced his available work hours and limited which facilities he would work, and therefore it was a business decision to not continue to employ him. As well, JO is the regional VP of operations for this employer and was not involved in clinical care related to the PTA's patient caseload. He's the director of rehab. So he was two levels above. The level above the complainant was actually an occupational therapist. So that was the person that this PTA was reporting to. And the complainant also filed a complaint with the OT board as well, just as an FYI. The PTA maintains that the reason he was fired is that he delayed treating his patient caseload for 3.5 hours while he waited for a supervising PT to return his call. It appears that JO's action in terminating the PTA was an employment-based decision not related to the practice of physical therapy. The allegation that JO was harassing the PTA to see patients without the supervising PT does not appear to be well-founded because on 4/14/23, the PTA had identified his supervising physical therapist, which was not JO.
Okay. Are there, did everybody review the documents, and are there any concerns or questions, or do you need more information, or actually this person's not here, do we need to try and have him come in, or do you have what you need to make a determination?
And I don't know the complainant. I didn't use his name, but he said he was going to be present today.
I'm here. I'm here. I've been here all day. I'm the PTA. I've been here all day.
So you're SS?
Yes. Yes, gotcha. Ma'am. I am.
All right. Any board members have a question for the complainant?
I don't have a question. Given what we are hearing, I actually think that it is worth taking no action on this, and I would move that we take no action on the complaint.
I would second that. But we're open to discussion. Dr. Bristillo, Dr. Hyde, do you have any, Giovanni, any concerns or questions about this case or preliminary?
After reviewing all the materials that were presented, I'm in agreement with the recommendation.
Yeah, I'm also in agreement.
All right. So we have a motion and a second to take no action. Judy, do you want to call the vote?
It has been moved and seconded to take no action in the case JO. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
That motion passes.
Okay. So the second, the next one we have also involves, I think the complainant was SS again, regarding KS. KS, you are on the call, so thank you. I will have Mindy just give us a brief update, and then if there's any questions for either of you, the board can ask you.
So this is a similar, this is based on the same complaint filed by SS. He filed this complaint at the same time as he filed a complaint against JO, because it referred to the same scenario. He filed a complaint alleging that KS failed to notify him on Friday, April 14th, who his supervising PT would be when she was not available. KS states that SS was aware of her planned vacation from April 13th through the 18th, and she confirmed to SS who his supervising PT would be when she texted him at 8:58 on April 14th, prior to the start of his patient care. Based on KS's response to the allegations and what she provided as the text message, it does not appear that SS's complaint has merit. The board is requested to determine what action, if any, to take regarding this matter. And if the board action is to open a case, it's requested that you identify the potential violations that would be cited in the notice of complaint.
Thank you. Well, after reviewing the documentation and the copies of the text and things, I would move that we take no action.
Second.
Does anyone have any other thoughts or questions? This is the time to discuss.
No, I feel the PT did her job in informing the PTA of who the supervising therapist would be during that day.
Mm-hmm. Actually, that's not true. That needs to be in writing. At no time was I ever told by this PT when she was going on vacation. If she had, I would have already known this. I have wasted my whole day sitting around waiting for this. I did not do this just for you to come around and say, well, we're not going to do anything. That was the first moment when she said, I am out of state. That was the first moment that I knew that PT was out of state. Right then, right where it's time stamped, at 8:58 a.m. that day. If you've got something in writing that says that she talked to me before, I want to see it.
Let me look. I thought there was a text message that had a timestamp before that, so let me make sure that I'm looking at the right thing.
I believe there is.
Mm-hmm.
It is. It was provided by KS. It's on page 6 of your KS file.
Okay.
Yeah, it specifies April 14th as the day that it was sent out. It specifies who's supervising, and it specifies that she'll be gone until the upcoming Wednesday.
Is there something missing from that, Mr. Sloan, that we're not seeing? Because it looks as though there is a text to you stating that she's not your supervising PT and who is. Okay. So we have a motion and a second on the table to take no action. Judy, do you want to call the vote?
It's been moved and seconded to take no action in the case KS. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
That motion passes.
Thank you. All right, that concludes the reviews and disciplinary actions. So now we move into board business.
The board business is starting with the financials. The financials for May of 2023 were presented in your packet. I am happy to answer any questions that you might have, engage in any discussion that you might deem appropriate or of interest.
Nope. Nothing for me.
Nothing from my perspective, but I appreciate the great work you guys are doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're staying busy, that's for sure. The next section of the board business has to do with the licenses and certificates that were approved in May of 2023. I was trying to think of it in relation to the testing cycle, but the exams were in April, so typically we'll see a spike in the month after an exam. So we processed plenty of applications in May. Always more to do. Any questions about any of those numbers, any of those types of applications, or anything to do with the applications?
No.
Okay, then. That brings us to future agenda items.
I don't think there's anything agenda-wise. We've got, well, I guess follow-up maybe. It doesn't have to be agendized, but, or maybe it does. Follow-up on where we are with the conversation we had with the FSBPT last month, right, about alternative approval pathways and ADA. So is that something we need to put back on the agenda to follow up with, or is there an update?
Mr. Harris, can I just give a brief update, or does it need to be placed as a future agenda item and then back on an agenda?
Yeah, we would need to do that, Judy. I'm sorry.
Okay. So let's put that on a future agenda to update us on the alternative path, approval pathway and all of the benefits and aspects of that, please.
Noted. And then the only final item, other than if anybody else has any future agenda items, if you're still percolating on that idea. No? Then the next thing on the agenda is adjournment. We have a motion to adjourn.
I will be, in terms of the future agenda items, I will be attending that the Model Practice Act. So I don't know if that needs to go in the July timeframe. Any kind of update that we got about the Model Practice Act, if you're interested in hearing about that.
Is that at the LIFE meeting?
Yes.
Yeah.
So maybe we can put it on the August agenda.
Sure, whatever.
To circle back around after the July LIFE meeting.
Yep.
That gives you time to kind of digest it.
Let's go.
Okay. I'll be there too, so I'll look forward to seeing you.
Yeah, be good.
Yeah.
There as well.
And Judy's there. I'm running for a committee. I don't even know what I'm doing. I don't know. I have to speak. I hate that, but whatever. It's fine. Okay. All in good service. So we'll see. I'll hand out pins. Vote for me. Okay, I move that we adjourn if that hasn't already happened.
Nope.
I second if that hasn't already happened.
All right, you guys. We have a motion and a second.
It has been moved and seconded to adjourn. Dr. King.
Yes.
Dr. Castillo.
Yes.
Mr. Leone.
Yes.
Dr. Hike.
Yep.
Mr. Barton.
Yes.
The motion passes. The meeting is adjourned at 2:22 and the recording will end at that same time.
All right.